is good.
All the time.
All the time.
God is good.
We are calling this four-week series E2D. This is week three. Big idea is that a biblical model for a growing, thriving, healthy church involves three things. First of all, you have to make new Christians. Second, you have to turn new Christians into serious disciples of Jesus Christ. And third, you have to send disciples out to make new Christians. Two parts evangelism, one part discipleship, E2D. It's so effective that Satan will do anything he can to keep it offline. What is his main weapon to stop people like you and me from evangelizing? Fear. Fear. He wants to shut our witness down before it even begins. There are four overreaching ideas that we've looked at in this series when it comes to evangelism. The first, we have to clearly define what we mean by the gospel. The second, we need to embrace that the gospel is actually good news. Third, fully embrace Christ's imperative to share the gospel. And fourth, receive the power to effectively proclaim it. So let's review just a bit, and then we'll get into our material for today. What is the gospel? What's really cool is you don't have to wonder. The Bible tells us very clearly what the gospel is. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 5. So the gospel of Jesus Christ is defined by Paul in five ways. Number one, Jesus died for our sins. The Bible teaches that sin is what separates us from God, and we are all sinners. Every single one of us are sinners. Just because someone sins differently than you doesn't make them a sinner and you not. We are all straight up sinners. Number two, the scriptures are accurate testimony. We can accept the teaching of scripture or we can reject it, but we do not get to culturally modify it. The Bible simply doesn't set up at night all upset because this culture doesn't like it. Number three, Jesus was buried. He was dead on the cross. He was taken down. He was wrapped in a cloth. He was buried in a tomb. And then, number four, Jesus rose from the dead. On Resurrection Sunday morning, the Holy Spirit filled a dead corpse. God raised Jesus of Nazareth from the dead, and Jesus Christ burst out of that grave. That is our stuff. That's our best stuff. Last thing in the world Christianity needs to do is to compromise on our best stuff. That's our stuff. We are Easter people. And number five, there were witnesses. The notion that Jesus didn't really raise from the dead but remains a great moral teacher is antithetical to both the teachings of Scripture and the claims of Christ. Jesus did not claim to be a great moral teacher. He claimed to be the Son of God and to have the power to forgive sins. So this idea that Jesus isn't the Son of God, but he's somehow this great teacher and figure is utter nonsense. The Bible and Jesus himself do not allow that interpretation. You don't get to compromise on Jesus. Either go for it or you reject it, but you don't get to compromise on it. I believe the gospel to be good news. And that's why I'm so excited about sharing it, because I believe it is good news. What's our sales pitch? Jesus offers genuine community and a life filled with passion and power and peace and purpose from now until eternity. If you take a look at our culture, people are lost today. They will become part of a community even if they know it is destructive, simply so they have somewhere to belong. The church is a community. We are a healthy, vibrant community, and we need to invite people to be a part of this community. And when I think about what I see in this culture today, I see just blank stares from people. The opposite of passion. I just see people going through life just droning through. I see people who are utterly feeling powerless. powerless to make decisions about their own lives, powerless to control their own destiny. They're adrift. I see people who have anything but peace. There's this mania in our culture today, and we have a news cycle that realizes there's good money in mania. So they keep people stirred up all of the time. And we have no peace at all, ever. And purpose. Maybe that's the main thing I don't see in our culture. I mean, what's the purpose of living? Is it see how much money you can make and how much stuff you can accumulate? If that's the case, you ought to watch the show Hoarders, because it shows the most successful people in America. They have all kinds of stuff. If you're living your life to impress people that don't care about you, if you're living your life to somehow accumulate things, you're going to live a pretty empty life. And I think if we can tell people today, we've got a community to be a part of. We believe that Jesus wants to give you a life of passion. I mean, if you don't have passion, all you're going to do is spend your whole life trying to numb your pain. We have a life of passion and power over your addictions and power over the destructive forces in your life and power over the narrative of your own life. And we have peace to offer. You see, peace is not the absence of turmoil. Peace is the presence of Christ. We can't get the turmoil out of a fallen world, but we can get Jesus in. And purpose. We serve a purpose. God has us here for a purpose. The Bible promises if we offer the good news, we'll get some takers. Not everybody, but we'll get some. You see, the gospel is thoroughly countercultural. It's a completely different way to act and think and live than how the world acts and thinks and lives. What we're offering is a relationship with God. Not religion, not blind adherence to a preconceived set of notions that can be manipulated. We're offering a relationship with the creating God through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And yeah, relationships can get a little bit messy. And our relationship with God can get a little messy sometimes, but that's why we have a community. We work that out together. How do we enter this relationship? Jesus said it so well. You must be born again. And this is that. Paul writes from a prison where he is incarcerated for no other reason than boldly sharing the good news and getting on Rome's last nerve. He writes to people who are being relentlessly persecuted and yet continue to boldly and effectively share the faith. In an American culture that increasingly deems evangelism of any kind as hostile, and views the words of Jesus recorded in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father but by me, as closed-minded. Our temptation can be not to offer a witness at all for fear that we will do more harm than good. I just want to tell you straight up, that is a lie of the devil. Failing to witness is not a Christian option. Jesus' followers are called, commissioned and equipped by the Holy Spirit to be witnesses. And God will bless and multiply any witness that we offer. He will bless them and he will multiply them. You say, well, I don't really know how to do it. Well, why would you? I remember a few years ago, Melissa wanted her laundry room, wanted the flooring in her laundry room done. And I thought, okay, let's get somebody to do it. And then I saw how much it cost, and I thought, okay, let's do it ourselves. And so I got this stuff, and I watched YouTube videos. Does anybody else just thank God for YouTube videos when it comes to do-it-yourself stuff, you know? I mean, you know, Lord, thank you for my family, YouTube videos, you know. I get this YouTube video out, and I did the floor. And scale is 1 to 10, I don't know, maybe 7. Maybe 6.5. And when I got done, I thought to myself, this isn't great. But if I could just do three more floors, I think I can nail this. Do you guys know what I'm talking about? If I could just do three more floors, I would do better next time. Well, why would I possibly expect that I could take something that's fairly complicated with no training at all and do it well? It's not realistic. Be like if you're going out to play golf this spring and you've never played before and you take your golf clubs out and you're out there and you're expected to have a great day. May I quote Steven Tyler, dream on, because it's going to be the worst day of your life. There's no reasonable expectation to think you're going to be successful. So what we're trying to do is equip our church to effectively share the good news. And we're doing that with book studies. We've got a book called That's Good News. You can pick a copy up in the bookstore. But we've got book studies that are going on. They're five-week studies, and they're evangelism lessons. So this is when they're meeting. Scott Campus, Monday nights at 6:30. Millstadt Campus, Wednesday nights at 6:30. CM Campus, Sunday mornings at 8:30. House of Rock, Sunday school class in the chapel right after this service. 11 o'clock in the chapel. Women's group study, 6:15 on Tuesday nights, Fairview Heights Scripture Hall. Gathering of Men, Monday nights, 6:30 in the Coffee Cafe. There is a group that will have its second meeting today, and you can just jump right in the gym, 2 o'clock today. Ronnie McDaniel is beginning a group tomorrow night up in the children's wing, 6:30. We got all these groups. Jump in. Don't let I don't know how or I'm not very good at this be an excuse. Nobody's good at anything hard until you get some instruction in it. We want to teach you how to do this really, really well. You put the time in, you're going to have more success, and it's going to be less intimidating for you. So how does God supernaturally equip flawed people like us? Did I mention we're all sinners? To offer a credible witness for Christ in a jagged, manic, and sometimes hostile world. Let's take a look. Verse 6, fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you. I want to suggest, if you are a Christian, if you've invited Jesus into your life, that you have the evangelism program downloaded into you. Maybe dormant, but you got it. It's there. So what he says is fan into flames. Activate it. Fan it into flames. I live in a cabin. Melissa and I live in a cabin out in the woods. Boy, it rained a lot this weekend on Friday, and the wind blew a lot. I have a near limitless amount of things that fell out of trees, right? Just wood everywhere. So every now and then we have cleanup days. So we get the chainsaws out, and we just clean up junk wood. We pull wood off of the bottom area of our property, and we just stack it all up, and we burn stuff. Sometimes these things burn really well, and usually they don't. And so we get these big stacks, and we get them going, and they burn a little bit. And then finally, I've got about three things I do to try to get things going, like get that core good and hot. And when none of that works, I go to my garage, and I get out the leaf blower. You ever taken a leaf blower to a bonfire? I do not recommend this. I want everybody to know, and the attorneys that represent our church, I did not recommend this. But it is rumored that if you take a leaf blower to a fire and just fire it in there, that thing just, and it's awesome. Awesome. Just sit there and just drill that thing. That's what Paul is saying to do. He said, hey, you got the faith. Might be smoldering a little bit, but there's some embers in there, man. Fan the flames. Get out the leaf blower. Let's get that thing moving. You see, God will save us and instruct us and empower us, but there's some stuff God's not going to do for us. We have to participate with God. God isn't going to get saved for us. God isn't going to attend church for us. He's not going to read the Bible for us. He's not going to financially give for us. He's not going to serve for us. He's not going to evangelize for us. God isn't going to invite someone to church. He may prepare their heart, but we have to invite people to church. I just want to suggest it's time to get out the leaf blower. It's time to heat up your core. I know a lot of people have been watching this Jesus Revolution movies. I never recommend movies. I liked this one. And it's all about this fire of the Holy Spirit called the Jesus Movement that moved in the late 60s across this country. And there's this revivalistic aspect, this intangible aspect of God doing incredible things through flawed people. It just sort of blew me away to watch it. And so much of it was just like watching my own childhood as I had parents who grew up in the very midst of the Jesus Movement. But what's really, really important to realize here is that God always wants to move. The Spirit always wants to flow, but God moves when he finds people who are willing to lean into it and not lean out. And I want to suggest we need to heat up the core. We need to get heated up in the name of Jesus. Maybe there was a time that you were just flat out turned on to Jesus and your fire was just going. And now maybe not so much. Fan the flames. Get out the leaf blower. Let's put this thing in motion. Let's see what God wants to do, not then, but now. Might it be the best days of your Christian life are ahead of you and not behind? Might it be? Verse 7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity. Fear and timidity are the low ceilings that keep a lot of people from becoming everything they were created to be, not just spiritually, but in their entire lives. Fear and timidity are not of God. It's good to know where some things come from. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity. Those things are not of God. Never were, aren't now, never will be. You can't baptize fear and timidity and call it wisdom. Can't do it. You don't get to do that. They are not of God. These are things that conspire to keep us from doing what the Bible clearly instructs us to do. We don't have to pray about doing what the Bible instructs us to do. We already have the instructions. Evangelism is a way to conquer fear and timidity in one area of your life. And I want to suggest that when you take that step, you will also find that you conquer fear and timidity in other areas of your life as well. When Jesus sets us free in one area of our life, we will find freedom in other areas of our life. If you are a person for whom fear and timidity has been a low ceiling, I want to encourage you to step out and to step in to what God is doing. Step in to being an evangelist. Step in to saying yes to God and watch yourself be set free from multiple prisons. Let me talk to you a little bit about what we call the 500. The 500 is really simple. Here at Christ Church, we are going to get 500 people, evangelists, if you will, to agree to inviting one new person to church each week for 60 weeks. That's it. We're going to equip you in how to do this. We will walk with you. We will be in community around this. This isn't going to be like an old Rambo movie where we drop you behind enemy lines and say, good luck, kid. It's not going to be like that, all right? This is something we're going to equip you to do. But we are going to get 500 people to invite one new person a week for 60 weeks. Let me tell you what's going to happen as a result of that. That is 30,000 warm invitations. And according to the numbers that we have seen happen over the years, it will result in 3,000 live visits, 300 new members, and multiple people accepting Jesus Christ. You say, why are you doing inviting people to church and not sharing your faith? Baby steps, my friend, baby steps. 2 out of 3 people said it's easier for them to invite someone to church than to share their faith. Okay, let's just start there. Here's the deal. You invite people to church, I'll tell them about Jesus when they get here. All right, that's where we'll start. And I am praying that as a result of everything that has to do with this, that has to do with the book, I'm praying that 10,000 people receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior as a result of this. And I'm inviting you to be a part of it. One of the difficult things about being a Christian leader is that God often asks us to do things that we can't accomplish without the help of others. So if God really put on my heart to have a new evangelism campaign called One, that would be easy because I would volunteer and we'd be done. I need 499 of you to come alongside. And I know for some it's just as intimidating as all get out. I need you to say yes and believe that what God asks you to do, that God will equip you to do. And as a result of doing this, not only will you bring people to Jesus, but God will do miracles in your own life. That's what I'm asking you to do. We start making invitations on the week of March 19th. We're going to be onboarding people until then. Today at the end of the service, those of you who have already signed up or are ready to sign up today to be part of the 500, sign up places right outside the doors. And online, we've got a link for you. Those of you that are ready to sign up today, we're going to commission you today. Also, if you said yes, we've got a packet for you right outside the doors. The packet is going to be, we're going to have multiple packets, but this is your packet. First thing you get is this. And this is a cardboard thing with 60 blanks in it. Every time you invite someone new to Jesus, you write that name down, or it could just be waiter or waitress or convenience store worker, whoever it is, if you don't know a name. But you're going to write down each of these for 60 weeks. Keep it on your fridge. Keep it somewhere you see it. And let's get at this. Secondly, we're going to give you these cards. These are big cards, but they got everything they would need to know about the church, including a code they can scan, takes them to our website. But this is a join me at church. So this would be something intentional that you do, that you hand out. And the third thing we've got in here are business size cards. These are just things that you keep with you. And if and when the opportunity arises, you simply hand someone a card. Had somebody give me a testimony today. They're already on this. So they said they went out to eat this week and they got done, they left a tip, and they left this card with the tip. What he said to me was really cool. He said, tell people if they're gonna leave a card, don't leave a lousy tip. And I think that's good advice, right? I really do. I think that's good advice. You know, leave a nickel in a card. You just set the kingdom of God back like 50 years, right? So leave a tip, leave them a card. He said that the waiter that picked up the tip and the card looked at it and said, we've been looking for a church. How cool is that, right? Pretty simple, pretty simple. And that's what we're talking about with 500. Just take the step. All right, to supercharge us, God's given us three spiritual weapons. Power, love, self-discipline. Let's take a look. Power. First thing I want you to know is you can do this. You can do this. God will never ask us to do what he has not equipped us to do. That's why God didn't ask us all to high jump 7 feet. I don't know about you. My vertical is not improving as I age. Right now, about the size of a Marissa phone book. All right? That's what I got right now. So God didn't ask us to high jump 7 feet. He asked us to invite one new person to church every week for 60 weeks. I can't do the former. The latter seems intimidating. But you know what? With God's help, I can get her done. So power, you can do this. It's a supernatural ability to live into what God asks of us. So if God has called us to be witnesses in the Great Commission, he empowered us for the task at Pentecost. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So let God do this through you. You say, I can't do it on my own. Of course not. Let God do this through you. So he gives us the power. Number two, love. I want to suggest that you can do this well. You can do this well. Love is a supernatural disposition that God gives his children toward the world. We're not going to invite people to church if we don't love them. John, 1 John 4:20 says, if we love God but hate people, we're liars and we deceive ourselves. You know, it's so funny. The Bible commands us to love people over and over and over. The Bible commands us to love people. I read somewhere, somebody said, why is it so much easier to love dogs than it is people? I said, that's the easiest question in the world. Dogs are awesome. I mean, dogs are awesome. I mean, God didn't have to tell us to love dogs. They're awesome. I've got two huge dogs. Awesome. Both of them. I just thoroughly enjoy them. God didn't need to tell me to do that. But loving people, sometimes not awesome. Sometimes we're not awesome either. And the imperative is to love. You say, well, how can I do that? Same way that you can share your faith. Let Jesus love them through you. Just get out of the way. Get your issues out of the way enough to let Jesus love people through you. So he gives us power. He gives us love. I want to be really clear. A failure to share our faith is a failure to love. A failure to share our faith is a failure to love. I'm not asking you to force round pegs into square holes. I want to teach you how to recognize a round hole and to put a round peg in it. And then number three, self-discipline. You can do this consistently. You see, what we have to do with anything in our lives is we just got to decide. We just got to decide whether we're going to do something or not. Get in or get out. I need to decide on this. And if you say yes, then just run the offense. Let's just run the offense. Let's just do this thing and decide. One of the things I was really sensitive to, I didn't want to get everybody all riled up and then try to get people to sign up. Because those are the people that sign up in emotion. And then to quote the old Dierks Bentley song, they think back and they think, I know what I was feeling, but what was I thinking? I don't want to do that. I really want you to approach this with a sound mind, with self-discipline. Say, you know what? This is hard, but this is how I'm going to do it. I need to offer one invitation to a new person a week. We're going to chart that. I just have an offense. I want to encourage you to run it, but keep it sober. Let's just get it done. And then number eight, never be ashamed to tell others about our Lord and give me the strength to suffer for the proclamation of the good news. Being a witness for Christ circa 2023 may cost you something, but it won't cost you much. It won't cost you much. None of us are likely to give our lives for the faith. Paul did, Peter did. Stephen did, James did, but none of us are likely to give our lives for the faith. It may cost us a little bit, not so much. But I'm going to suggest that as you do this, God will give you unexpected blessings. We pray every Sunday morning at 7 o'clock. 7 o'clock, we have prayer meeting right here at church. The people that are going to be on the stage all have to be here by 7. We got a group that comes in and prays over us, over the sanctuary, and over every room in this church. We have a prayer team that does that. If you would like to be a part of that, just show up at 7 one Sunday morning and we'll deal you in. It's not like the line is a mile and a half long for prayer ministries when you have to wake up at 7 and get here. But I praise God for the people who do. One of the people in the prayer team relayed a story to me today about 500. She was at a convenience store. And she was getting a drink. And she was at the convenience store waiting to go up. She said she had built a pretty good rapport with this particular person who worked there that was working the cashier. And they had chatted, had a pretty nice rapport. So she gets up there with her drink. And she says, here you go. And they're just doing things. And she said, may I ask you a question? And she said, well, of course. She said, do you go to church anywhere? And kind of hemmed and hawed just a little bit. You know, Sundays, kind of blah, 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 blah. And she said, she smiled. She handed her one of these cards, and she said, I just wanted to give you an invitation to come to church with me if you'd ever like to. And the woman said, you know what? I just might do that. Well, as it turns out, the person standing behind her waiting to check out, when it came time for her to pay for her soda, the guy stepped in front of her, and he goes, no, I want to cover this one. You know, one thing I thought about, when we offer a witness, we may even be witnessing to people we're not witnessing to. You ever said grace in a public place? Now, I'm not talking about really loud and pilgrim grace. I'm just kind of talking about just bowed your heads and said grace in a public place. When I do that, I will often have people come up and tell me they appreciate it. It wasn't just about blessing the food and being thankful. It was also a witness to others. So sometimes when you offer a witness, you're actually witnessing to people you weren't witnessing to. But God can multiply any witness that we offer. If we're believers, we are called to be witnesses. And if we're not witnesses, we do not believe strongly enough. I just want to be really blunt and just ask some questions. Do you believe in heaven and hell? Do you believe that only those who receive Christ go to heaven? Do you know and love people who do not know Christ? If your answer to these questions is yes, how can we justify not inviting them to Jesus? How can we justify not at least giving them an opportunity to come to church and to hear the good news? And if your concern is that you may do more harm than good, flag. I'm just going to throw a flag on that. I've seen God bless many an awkward witness, but I've never seen God bless no witness at all. God's a God of multiplication. He can bless anything but nothing. Anything times zero is zero. Give God something to bless. And where's the win? The win is when you make the invitation. The win is when you make the invitation. When did that couple at dinner have the win? When they included that card with their tip? When did the person at the convenience store have the win? When she asked that simple question with somebody she'd build a relationship with. Again, I'm not asking you to force round pegs into square holes. I'm asking you to learn to recognize round holes. This isn't hard, it's easy. And it's what God has asked us to do. So I have some responses as I close here. I just want to challenge you to get involved here, because what I'm doing is I am mobilizing this huge church to become an evangelistic force for Jesus Christ for the next 2.5 years. That's what we're doing here. And I need you to do it. So here are some responses. First of all, if you've not yet been anointed with oil and commissioned, I'm going to invite you at the end of this service, right when we start singing, to come up. Reverend Don is going to be over here. I will be here. I saw Larry Weber come in. Pastor Larry's going to be right here. Reverend Carmen is going to be over here. And we will simply anoint you with oil. And we will say, I commission you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. This passage says, fan the flames and fan the fire that came to you with the laying on of hands. So we're just going to do what the Bible says here. I'm going to lay on some hands. We'll throw a little oil in the fire too. All right? We're going to lay hands. So if you've not yet been commissioned, we're going to invite you up. Those of you that were commissioned on Wednesday night, which was an incredible service, during our commissioning prayer, I'm just going to ask you to stand for the prayer because you've already been commissioned. Don't need you to come back up, but I do want you to stand for that prayer. And then when we sing, we're going to invite folks to come up, be anointed, and be commissioned. Secondly, when you get out of church today, I'm going to invite you to pick up one of the packets. They're just right outside on the table. Just pick up a packet. Start getting familiar with its contents. We'll have these out. They'll be updated, but just pick up a packet. If you've not signed up to be part of the 500, I want to invite you to do that. I still need 158 more people. We have 2 more weeks to unload. So if you were hoping other people would do it and let you off the hook, doesn't appear to be happening. I need 158 more people as of this morning. So get commissioned. Go put your name on the line. We got a group out there at that table right outside the doors. Put your name on the line. Let us know how we can be in contact with you. Become part of the 500. Join a book study. Learn how to do this well. Learn how to do this well. And God will bless you for that. And then finally, be in prayer about all this. Be in prayer that God would prepare the hearts of the people you're going to share with. Be prepared that God would give you wisdom and boldness as you share. And also be in prayer that God would do incredible things in your life as a result of you saying yes. What do you think people would pay on eBay to defeat fear and timidity in their own life? I bet some people would pay a lot. I'm going to say by saying yes to God and defeating fear and timidity in one area of your life, he will free you in other areas of your life as well. Pray that God will do that work in you. All right, that's what we're doing. That's what we've got going. So again, Don will be here. Then I'll be here. We'll have Larry here, Carmen here. Come on up. We will commission you as we sing. I've asked my father, Fred Bishop, if he would commission. He's going to do that from his seat. But those of you that were already commissioned on Wednesday night, I'd like to ask you to stand right now. Just those of you that have already been commissioned on Wednesday night, just go ahead and stand up right now. And I'd like to ask my dad, Reverend Fred Bishop, would you lead us in a prayer of commissioning?
Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for all that you've brought us through. And how I praise you that this be our year of Jubilee, the year of reaching out, the year of the Philadelphia church where the doors are open. And so right now, Father, I ask you in the name of Jesus just to send forth your spirit upon each and every person that says yes to you. And I know that you'll go before us. Your word says you shall go out with singing. You'll be led forth with peace, and the hills shall be forth into singing. Father, we look forward to all the hills bringing forth into singing for all that you're going to do in this year. And I ask that anointing to come now on each and every person that says yes to you. In the blessed name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Please stand. Let's worship together. Those of you that have made up your mind on this, whether you already signed up or whether you're going to sign up right after church, come on up. Let's anoint you with oil and commission you.